Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from Mark chapter 6. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. So far, our text. When a text like this whole section recording, Mark's recording of the death of John the Baptist, seems kind of out of sync with the rest of the narrative. It's all about John the Baptist. But when we find a text in Scripture that doesn't seem to be about Jesus, it's about Jesus. We hear a lot about King Herod and John and what happened there. But behind these two characters is Jesus. This is a very familiar story in Scripture, which I was told the other day that kids just really like to hear this gruesome tale. But there is more than just a grisly tale about the end of this prophet. Mark is telling us, teaching us the difference between the kingdom of this world and the reign of God. Herod Antipas is described as King Herod, but technically, he was never king. Those of you studying the book of Acts with Pastor are reminded that Herod was a tetrarch, which means that he was a ruler over one-fourth of the kingdom that his father, Herod the Great, had ruled over. Yet Mark is very persistent in calling him king, even though he wasn't really a king. It's interesting because in Mark's gospel, Mark describes Jesus as king. If you skip ahead to chapter 15, you'll find that Mark uses that title referring to Jesus six times. So I think Mark is trying to communicate to us about the two kingdoms and the two kings. Herod, the worldly ruler, and God's kingdom. God's kingdom, which was brought to fulfillment in the person of Jesus, the King. And the question for us today is, as we consider these two kingdoms, is how we live in respect to these two kingdoms today. For these two kingdoms still exist today. Now, as believers, as Christians, we are called to follow the reign of God in our lives. But in doing so, are we prepared to face the rejection of this, that the kingdom of this world puts up against us? Do we realize the influence that the kingdom of this world has on our everyday lives? How do we navigate these two kingdoms? So King Herod represents the values of our day and age. We can see that. He knows the law of God, and yet he defies it by following the desires of his flesh. He is not concerned at all with the will of God for his life. And it doesn't take us much to jump to our day and age and see that same kind of behavior in the people out there. And I guess we always have to be careful with the old finger pointing. If you remember, if you point at someone, there's a couple fingers pointing back at us. So how are we also influenced by that kind of value in our world? Herod is concerned about fitting into his world, in his culture. He built a palace, and the city of Tiberias, modeled after Rome, because he wanted to have that kind of glory, the glory of Rome, and try to fit in with that. So, end game is he wanted to be a king. And so to cultivate that with Rome was an advantage for him. So how do we navigate the culture of our day? Do we have that urge to fit in? Herod was also concerned about power and prestige. We see that in the party that he throws for himself. He surrounds himself with the rich and the famous of Galilee. And does that turn our heads as well? Desire for power and prestige. Herod caves into the desires of his stepdaughter, his wife, and his guests. And so he is concerned about his own honor, his own pride. And finally, he has John executed, wielding his power and authority for this purpose, for his own ends. And again, are these values that somehow creep into our lives, the desire for power, prestige, honor, and pride? In contrast to this, we have Jesus. And Jesus embodies the values of the reign of God in this world, almost the opposite. For Jesus lives in perfect obedience to the will and the law of God. He fulfilled perfectly all of God's law. He lives humbly, not in splendor, not in opulent wealth. He associates with sinners and outcasts and is moved by compassion. He submits to the will of his Father. He suffers scorn and humiliation. Jesus gives his life for all, even those who rejected him and opposed him. He does not use his own power, but submits to death, even death on a cross. That sacrifice was for sinners like you and for me, so that we might be brought out of this evil age and made heirs of his kingdom. Quite a contrast between these two kingdoms. Quite a contrast between these two kings. The values of Herod that are displayed in this account and those of Jesus are about as extreme as you can get. For believers, for you and for me, we struggle with these competing values. For us, the words of Jesus are to follow him. Follow him in the way of the cross. Mark records Jesus' words later in chapter 8. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. That's the way of the cross. But we have to keep in mind always that the way of the cross does not begin with our efforts to follow these values. The way of the cross begins with repentance. The persistent message of the kingdom of God is repent. John called the people out of Jerusalem to be baptized, but the message was repent. And after John came, then Jesus came with that message, and it's a very similar message. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And this message of repentance is not just a general call to humanity to repent, but it is a specific call to particular people. We see this in John calling Herod to repentance. He confronted him with his sin and called him to repent. And so does God's word act on us. God's word calls us to repent, to lives of repentance. Repent when it comes to failing to live the life God has called us to live. Repent. And what kind of life is that? God directs us, calls us to love God and love the neighbor by serving him. But as we confess, we have failed. We have failed to love God and we have failed to love the neighbor. But in spite of our many failures, the same God who calls us to repentance is the same God who sent his Son to take up the cross in perfect obedience. Mark tells us, and he, Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He took up the cross to bear our sins. Out of his compassion, he endured this suffering for you and for me. By his taking up the cross, he earned for you the forgiveness of sins. Paul talks about this forgiveness in terms of justification, of our being forgiven. In Ephesians 2, Paul wrote these words that are familiar to many, I'm sure. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. The gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one could boast. This forgiveness is a free gift. That means you have been forgiven for your failure to love God perfectly and to serve your neighbor. Repent. Repent and believe this wonderful promise of God. This forgiveness is for you. You have been forgiven by the blood of Christ. And now take up your cross and follow. But beware, to follow Jesus, to take up your cross, is to face rejection by the world. And even closer to home, it means rejection by our own sinful flesh that still is within us. Be aware of that. What happened here in our text from Mark foreshadows the arrest, execution, and the burial of Jesus. If you compare the account of Jesus' suffering and death and burial, you'll notice that Mark is giving us a parallel account here with John the Baptist. The account of John's horrible death points us to the ultimate suffering and death of Jesus on the cross. Both of these accounts are a dose of reality for us. The world opposes the gospel of Jesus Christ. It opposes those who follow the way of the cross. But what are we to do? We are to be faithful, to take up our cross and follow him. It seems like foolishness, especially to the world. Why would we be like John the Baptist and lose our head when we could be like Herod and enjoy all the glory and honor of Rome? But Jesus tells us the very opposite is true. The one who wants to save his life will lose it, and he who loses his life will save it. Herod found out that the pleasures of this world were just temporary. John realized the gifts of the kingdom, forgiveness, life, and salvation are eternal. Repent. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus' forgiveness and the eternal life which he gives us in his word and in his sacraments. Take up your cross and follow him. Alleluia. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Alleluia. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.